Richard, why don't you come on up and we'll just pray for you and get you started. This Screwtape letters are exactly what it's how the devil comes after us. And he's basically, you know, in a way, C.S. Lewis is teaching us how he will come after us in many different ways. So, Heavenly Father, first off, we just come to you in great thanks and thanksgiving and praise. We honor you. We give you glory. We give you all the majesty. We thank you for hearing our prayers when we talk to you. Oh, Lord, be with Mark Borowski and his precious family as they mourn his mother, Lord, and she knew you, so she's in glory with you. And we just pray that you would now comfort Mark and his brother and sister and all the family members that are going to be missing Grandma Virginia. Just bless them, Lord, and help them get everything together for this Saturday coming up for the homegoing. Lord, we ask your healing hand be upon Leslie and that you would just touch her body and just restore her to health and let her get out of the hospital and home soon. And please be with George, that he'd be a great encouragement. And finally, Lord, I'm lifting up Richard Dick to you. And Lord, you know that he has been doing this for so many years. I don't even think we can count him. Teaching your word and just being a guy that stands on the wall every semester. He's one of your men that's teaching. And I thank you for him. And I ask you now to speak through him into the hearts of everybody here, that you would touch their hearts, that you'd prick their hearts, that you would inform us and help us see some of the ways that Satan will come after us. And Lord, help us to remember to put on that armor and strap it on every single day. And that is getting into your word and staying in fellowship with other believers and praying, Lord. We thank you and we love you. And I ask you to bless Richard and his message today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, gentlemen. And the rest of you. I didn't mention any names. So, Screwtape letters. Hopefully, ordinarily we don't push folks to read the book. I would encourage it, particularly this time, to read the book. As you know, many of you know already, it's an easy read, but it is a challenging read. Just to give a little overview, sort of backing up what Jack did last time. When was last time? 2 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago? Something like that. So Screwtape is the... Sorry. Screwtape is the senior demon. He's trying to educate and mentor this junior tempter, Wormwood, advising him on how to keep the patient from Christ, which is the ideal, or at least keep him ineffective. It's an easy book to read, but it's also bending. Because as you remember from having read it before or know from reading it now, the roles shift when he talks about the Father, talks about the great Father below. When he talks about the patient, the one he's trying to help, he's talking about the victim, us, and trying to help him to remain securely in the clutches of the enemy. And that's why you'll see on your notes, and you see in the slides too, I've tried to make clear it's easy to forget who's talking. So I put this caution up here that's in your notes too. In reading the book, but even more importantly, in living life, in going through your day when thoughts come in and out, never forget that the demon here, just as the demon here is tempting the patient with various thoughts from left field, so our enemy is too. And that's probably the overriding lesson, maybe of the book, but certainly of letters 1 and 2, that keep two questions in mind when evaluating the thoughts that come into your mind. You may have happened today. You know, you think, where did that come from? And of course, the answer is going to be pretty obvious when you evaluate the thought. So when a thought like that comes into my mind, what I need to do is to think, who's speaking and why are they saying what they're saying? So where does the root of that thought come from and where does it lead to? There's a legal term, qui bono, who benefits, also known if you've seen a lot of lawyer movies, follow the money. So who gets something out of this? We need to think about that in terms of those thoughts, those things that tempt us. I can guarantee you, for every guy here, one of those areas is purity. And there's a beautiful woman in a picture. There's a thought about a past encounter. And, oh, it's so comfortable to think about that. Whoa, she was pretty. Who benefits? And where's that going? So it's a good idea to stop those thoughts at the gate. You remember in Pilgrim's Progress when he talks about the eye gate and the ear gate, the things that come into our minds that we have to deal with. Stop the thoughts at the gate and interrogate them. Sometimes they get a little past the gate, and then we need to throw them out. But keep them out of the keep, the inner part of the castle, the heart of who you are and where you are. So the patient, in this Screwtape letter number one, the patient, the victim, is not yet a Christian. It's a little surprising as we go through the book that Satan loses pretty early, really between letters one and two. In book one, in letter one, the patient's not a Christian. By letter two, he's made a profession of faith. And I'm going to talk about that distinction, profession of faith, as we get to letter two. But Screwtape gives Wormwood some keys to keep the patient from coming to a profession of faith in Christ. There may be guys in this room, there probably are guys in this room, who are in the patient's condition right now. You haven't yet come to terms with Christ. You're looking, you're searching, something's drawing you, someone's drawing you, because otherwise you wouldn't be here, unless you have a really persistent neighbor who keeps nagging you to come anyway. But someone's drawing you toward Christ. So, but you haven't quite surrendered yet. You haven't quite made that profession. You want to know more. Well, how does the enemy try to keep you from doing that? You'll see in your notes and in the slides, I put the thing, you'll see a lot of the thing is in Joker Man font. That's to try to highlight for you that the thoughts you read are not God's thoughts. And in red on your notes and in white here on the slides, the thoughts that are in Calibri are truth. And that's the first key to not allowing someone to come to Christ. Screwtape tells Wormwood, don't focus on truth. It's not about truth. If you focus on truth, you've already lost half the battle. God is a God of truth. If people actually start confronting reality and facts, you've lost. He's going to end up in the enemy, from Screwtape's perspective, the enemy's camp. So keep him focused anywhere but truth. And you'll see that that theme a lot in all the letters, but particularly in letters one and two. Don't allow real truth to become the focus of discussion. Don't allow real facts to ever become the object of our discussion. Keep it focused on other things. Because, of course, thy word is truth. Truth leads people to God. Because you'll eventually come face to face with reality. And in that same genre, and you all, I may have mentioned before when I was speaking that I'm retired and I don't have to go to work today. Maybe, I might have mentioned that. So, yeah, I don't. So, but you guys who do, and those of us who don't, you're going to walk out of here into the buzzsaw of life. In driving to work, which more and more of you are doing, or just in going home or whatever you're doing today, that buzzsaw of real life. You can leave this bubble, this cocoon, and then go out of here and confront real life. That's what the enemy wants you to think. is that that's real and this is not. Not true, of course, but we have to remind ourselves that it's not true. So Psalm 121, 1, lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence does my help come? I encourage you as you walk out of this room today, during your day, lift up your eyes to the hills. Remember the one from whom your help comes. And it isn't the guy who's writing this letter. And the second one is related to it. Emphasize the immediate, the real life, the stream of consciousness. I don't know if you've ever read like Virginia Woolf or any of the classic authors like that, James Joyce. They write in a stream of consciousness. So it's like somebody puts a tape recorder on your brain and then puts it into a book. So emphasize that that's really life. Well, no, probably isn't. It's where we are, but we got to remember that where we are is not where we're going to be. And it's not necessarily, and dwelling in the where we are is not where we want to stay. Keep the pressure of the ordinary, the day-to-day, the getting groceries, the fixing the furnace, the problems with the children, the opportunities with the children. Keep them everywhere but on eternity. And of course, our counter to that, eternity's in our minds because God put it there. So we need to remember that, as Lewis says elsewhere, that the people we meet day to day, the people that are going to be beside you in the cars on the parkway, the folks that you're going to meet in the office, they're not trivial. They're not incidental. They're fearsome beings, just like you are. They have an eternity ahead of them, just like you do. So don't stay in the ordinary. Recognize that no one is simply ordinary. I know it's hard for me to remember, probably hard for you too. The tempter is encouraged to bring to mind, and here I put the quote in, that our inarticulate sense for actuality, which is our ultimate safeguard against the aberrations of mere logic. We wonder, how many were here when Marty did his transgenderism series of sermons? Remember how much time he spent at the beginning not talking about transgenderism, but talking about logic. A lot of time. I frankly got a little tired of it. But it's critically important because the enemy, the devil, doesn't want us to deal with logic and truth and facts. He wants us to stay in the, that's cruel or that doesn't make any sense at all. Science knows this. Anybody who has half a brain knows this. Well, maybe that's not true. Maybe there is real truth. Maybe there are real facts. And I need to seek that truth. It's important for us as believers to recognize that truth is never the enemy of God. If you have somebody who's seeking for truth, like a genuine non-believer, though he may be very hostile to Christianity, he's not our enemy. If he's seeking truth, even though he may go way off in the left field before he finally finds it, when he finds it, he's going to find God at the end of it. So it's the folks who are pretending to or who think they are seeking truth who are in real trouble. And then lastly, don't argue. Befuddle. If I get in a genuine argument where I have to confront those real facts, you know, I as the demon am in trouble. So sort of fudge things. As you probably read in the example, yeah, I could think about that argument, but it's lunchtime and I'm hungry and there are bagels back there. So actually there aren't yet, but there will be. Oh, there are bagels back there. Now everybody's going to get up and go eat the bagels. That's okay. I will be offended, but go ahead anyway. Next slide, please. There we go. Letter 2. So letter two, the enemy's already lost in the sense that the patient has made a profession of faith. Now, one of the things that can be confusing, I think, in Screwtape letters is, does that mean that the patient has come to Christ? I don't think so. I think he's well on his way and he's made a profession of faith. And the reason I don't think so is because in letter two and for the rest of the book, really, pretty much, it talks about the fact that Wormwood should not give up hope of reclaiming the patient for the enemy, for the father below. Well, as you know, I think the scriptures are pretty clear, and I know Marty would say the same if he were up here, that once saved, we're out of the enemy's clutches. We are God's forever, for all eternity. So that's why I don't think I would get confused by saying that, okay, he's become a Christian, because once we have come to Christ, we're eternally sealed in the Holy Spirit. So don't get drawn off by that. So, but one of the interesting things too, and we'll see this play out much more in later letters, is that Wormwood's in big trouble. He's already blown it in a major way, and Screwtape makes clear to him that there will be consequences. And when you're a demon, the consequences are really nasty. So, which for us is good news. So, but all is not lost, Screwtape tells Wormwood. The church, small c, can be the tempter's ally. We, in this local body of Christ, can be the tempter's ally. Because if the enemy can keep the thoughts of the patient on us, on our imperfections, our humanity, the fact that I don't dress very well, or I have spinach in my teeth, or something like that, or say things that don't make much sense. If he can keep his eyes, the patient's eyes on us, then, hey, he can point out our imperfections. But by all means, do not forget, don't let the patient's eyes go on himself and examining his own imperfections. At any cost, keep him from looking within. Keep him looking without, recognizing the real imperfections and shortcomings of those around him. Because if he forgets and searches within and also searches up and recognizes not the little c church, but the church, terrible as an army with banners, the implacable foe of the father below, then Wormwood's in deep trouble. Because he recognizes that all these people out here and up here, they're not just ordinary people. They have God himself inside them. And they can be, and you are, mighty for Christ in ways that may not be apparent from the fact that you went to Notre Dame or West Point. So, even though you're struggling with those deficiencies and shortcomings. Sorry, Dave, I didn't really... Actually, I did mean that, by the way. So, how'd that football game come out, by the way? So, but if you can keep the patient's eyes on the outside of us and off the inside of him and the truth of Christ, then he's winning some victories. And that's really the point of the third bullet as well. Emphasize the person in the next row, not the body of Christ. Focus on the negative, superficial impressions. Focus on the guy, and I use this example later on. Focus on the guy who just cut you off as you're trying to get out of the parking lot. Focus on the guy who just spilled coffee on your shoe, who just looked at you the wrong way, or who, because he's thinking about the fact that his grandmother's very ill, doesn't smile at you. And you don't know his grandmother's very ill. You just know he didn't smile at you. And we focus on those things, and we start to think ill of another brother or sister in Christ. And perhaps, you know, perhaps there was something going on, or not. But as long as we're focused on that, we're forgetting to focus on who we are in Christ, who that person is in Christ, on his or her needs, and not on my own. I need to build up the body of Christ and avoid judgment. I don't need to avoid allowing and perhaps helping another brother or sister come face to face with the reality of the truth of God. That's not judgment. I'm not sitting in judgment on anybody. The Word of God is. So, but when my standard of comparison is not Christ, it's myself, then I'm judging. And I'm getting in trouble, and the body of Christ is getting in trouble. Keep everything as hazy in his mind now, and you will have all eternity wherein to amuse yourself by producing in him the peculiar clarity that hell affords. Anybody like Twilight Zone? Or watched a lot of them when you were younger? And the numbers go down year by year as I get older. But if you remember Twilight Zone, series of episodes on really improbable situations and focused a lot on irony. One of the episodes with Sebastian Cabot, who is this very heavy-set, very classical Englishman, he was the star of that episode. The episode's called Nice Place to Visit. And in the episode, this thief, Jimmy Valentine, wakes up, he's caught in a robbery, he gets hit, shot, and wakes up in this mansion. And he's having a wonderful time. Girls, money, he can't lose at the casino. Boy, this is great. But then he gets bored. And he talks to Sebastian Cabot, who's sort of his host, says, you know, I don't think I belong here in heaven. It's all good, but man, it's just getting really dry and empty. And Sebastian Cabot's character starts to laugh and says, who said anything about you being in heaven? So that's the peculiar clarity which hell affords. And the enemy will take eternity, will take pleasure in reminding those who don't choose Christ how close they came. Of course, it's our job as believers to be available to God, to be used to help people to see that. So pursue truth. Capitalize on the disillusionment of everyday Christian life. Got to go to work. Got to come home, got to face the burnt dinner or the no dinner or the job difficulties or whoever's in charge of the White House either last year or this year. And like one, don't like the other. Keep us focused on that, not on the larger issues, not on Christ himself. So the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. I need to keep making that single step every day. But making that step not just forward, but upward toward Christ. And then lastly, make sure the patient steadfastly avoids spirit-led self-examination and any semblance of real humility, recognizing his own shortcomings. Do not permit that. Keep him focused on his own capability and strength, not on his own weakness and need. And make sure he doesn't look at where he falls short. So just some observations. We as believers are subjected to distractions and lies just like unbelievers, but we have available to us the protection and help to resist and to discern truth from falsehood. We have that available to us. It's like a smoke alarm without batteries. It's available. It doesn't do any good. We have to use that protection and help. We have to seek it to discern truth from falsehood. Secondly, and this is a caution for the whole book, our enemy is cunning and implacable. He hates us and will for eternity. He is not omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. He is none of those things. He may win skirmishes in your life and mine. He may even win battles, but he's already lost the war in eternity and in our lives. We need to not be ignorant of the enemy's designs, but we need to focus on the winner, Christ, not the loser. You know, you've undoubtedly heard the illustration that supposedly treasury agents are trained to recognize forgeries by understanding the true currency. Similarly with us, we don't need to know a lot about Satan and his designs, about falsehood. We need to know an awful lot about truth, because that's going to guard us against those falsehoods. Humility, and pretty much guarantee if you've been walking with Christ for a while, humility is critically important, and it's painfully learned. Quite painfully learned. Then the last one is, consider regular extended times with God in the Word and in prayer, letting God search you. And by that, there was a book put out by the Navigators, a little booklet called How to Spend a Day Alone with God. The guy who wrote it, Lauren Santa, used to be president of the Navigators, he commented afterward, if I wrote it today, I'd say how to spend a half day alone with God. Because it just, not because the time wouldn't be rewarding if it was a whole day, but it's just too daunting. We just probably won't do it because it sounds like too much. Similarly, you know, don't come into something planning to spend 8 hours in the Word and in prayer. It'll be rewarding if you do, but the length of time may dissuade you from doing it at all. So 2 hours, 1 hour, whatever, just some time longer than a quiet time to spend in reflection on the Word of God, going through adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication, guided by the Scriptures. Okay, last one with discussion questions. If you were Screwtape's patient, which letter would apply to you? One or two? Letter one or letter two? So letter one before he came to Christ, letter two after he has made a profession. Which one applies to you? And if it's one, why is it one? Secondly, have you recognized any of the enemy's devices being used against you recently? Think about that. You know, have I seen any of the situations that we've talked about in this session or elsewhere in the book? How did you handle it? And then how would you handle it now, having heard what you've heard? And three is related to it. At what points does the enemy usually attack you? And I can tell you, for me, it's fatigue, discouragement, you know, or solitude. I need solitude, but too much of a good thing can be a bad thing. So what are your weak points? And then how do you handle those? How do you work with the Holy Spirit to shore up your defenses? So next week, Jay Santiago is going to cover letters 3 and 4, and that's all I have for you. Thanks.